Well, there'll be no question about the subject this morning. But you can't say too much about the importance of fatherhood. As fathers go, so goes a family and a nation. Our whole society is affected. I thought it'd be good for us to begin by thinking of what is a father. And I'll say something very shocking. A father is a sinful man. Now, I know that you have never realized that or thought about that, but a father is a sinful man because he's a part of the human race that is sinful. Everybody's sinful. So fathers are not perfect. There are no perfect fathers. Secondly, a father is a man with weaknesses. He has responsibilities that are far greater than he could meet. Now, with those two things, we counteract that with this thought. A father is a man with a position, a role, a function that comes from God Himself. He is designed by God for His role. He is designated for that position. It is assigned to Him. What is God's purpose for fatherhood? It is for leadership. A father is a man with God's purpose for leadership, with God's authority, and to serve as a leader to his family and to his country. When men are masculine, women are feminine. When men are strong leaders, women are secure. When men become effeminate and homosexual, the nation crumbles. The fall of the Roman Empire was mainly attributed to this problem of effeminate men and homosexual men. This morning I read that the city of Berlin has appointed a homosexual mayor. And there was boasting about this, that the city is so tolerant and so proud of their diversity, not honoring God's word. When men are real fathers, women are real mothers. Leadership to provide, to protect, and to prepare. I was reading an article in Rush Limbaugh letter this week. Rush Limbaugh, radio commentator, had an interview with Tiger Woods' father, Ur Woods, and they talked about how Tiger became probably the most successful golfer in history. And a young man who is a multi-millionaire, and it keeps going. And so Rush was questioning Earl Woods, the father, about what went on. And he said, well, we got started in golf. I tried to get him into baseball, but no Tiger wanted to stick with golf. Well, what did you do when you were together? Earl Woods said he learned golf not so much from me, but from other teachers, and I was there with him. Well, what did he learn from you? Earl Woods said, I prepared him for life. I prepared him for what the PGA Tour was going to be like, and the kind of problems of travel, and the kind of athletes he'd be around, and the kind of society he was going to have to live in. I prepared him for life, and I thought, hallelujah, what a great thing that father did. What is God's purpose for fatherhood? To provide leadership for families and nation. And I thought this morning we could do no better than to look at the example of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, let's turn to that. Now Joshua is probably the greatest military general in history. He's with Moses as they cross the wilderness, out of the Red Sea, across the wilderness, up to the River Jordan. Moses dies. And God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Only be very courageous, because it's a difficult time. The great leader is gone. What will happen? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua led the armies and the people into the promised land, filled with the filth and corruption of the nations that lived there. Now they are there in the promised land. And in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua has rehearsed for the people all the great things that God did, how he protected them even in Egypt, miraculously led them out and took them across the wilderness, brought them into a land where they had never built the cities and so on. In verse 14, we read to the people, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Listen to this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would underline that in your Bible. I'd put a circle around it. I'd put a drop of blood on it or something to look at. Here is a classic testimony in all of history. So we ask, how was Joshua's leadership expressed? And first of all, we notice it was expressed by speaking for his family. Now here's the whole community. And he's reminded them of what God has done, and yet there's some opposition and hostility. And he says, you decide what you're going to do. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now that is a man speaking with a firm declaration with a strong conviction, with a firm direction. Father, where's your family going? What's the direction? Well, there's no question here. Joshua sets that direction, that standard. We will serve the Lord. He exerted that leadership. He was a father who fulfilled his role. And he saw his family as God-given family. In a sense, his sheep. And he's the shepherd of the sheep that God has given him. And Joshua exercises his leadership by speaking for his family. Secondly, he exercised his leadership by speaking for himself. As he said to all the Israelites, you think about what you want to do with your life, but as for me, this is where I'm going. I will serve the Lord. This is personal conviction. As for me. And it shows he's willing to stand alone in a godless environment and society. A willing detachment. I don't have to be popular. I don't have to have society like me. It's more important what God thinks of me. You decide your direction, but as for me, this is where I'm going. I'm going to serve the Lord. Thirdly, Joshua expressed his leadership through testimony to the community. He's not saying this in a closet. The whole community is gathered together. This is public. He's not hiding his testimony. And in spite of opposition of some of the people who have been serving idols and engaged in the immorality of the people around them, he gave this testimony publicly. Public testimony, not hiding his testimony, in spite of opposition. Now you think about that today. Whether you're a father or a mother or a student in school or whatever, if you come to this conviction, I am here on this earth with one lifetime to serve the Lord, count on opposition. It'll be there. You don't have to look for it. They'll be after your hide with ridicule, with laughter, with outright hostility, hatred. Count on it. Can you take it? Is it worth it? Joshua thought so. And therefore she said, you decide. But it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Today we face the same thing. Well, what qualities is Joshua displaying here? It's very evident it's a courageous faith. Courageous faith. Interesting that in the first chapter, God had to say to Joshua, at least three times, be very courageous. Being a father is the most difficult role in this life. It takes great courage to speak for family, to speak for self, and to speak to society. Courage. A father has to have courageous faith. He has to have a determining conviction that this is right. To serve the Lord is right because he learned that from the Bible. It's not something he thought of, oh, this would be nice. No, this is vital. This solid direction that we're going is vital. We will serve the Lord. You remember the Marine Corps ad? The Marines are looking for a few good men. Well, today, God is looking for a few good fathers that will save this society from absolute corruption. Now, how can it be possible for a man to fulfill this awesome role? What is a father's confidence? A father's confidence is this. It is God's calling. He did not place himself in this position. He did not choose to be male or female. God made him that way, put him in the geographical area in which he lived, chose his parents, and now he has this position by God's calling. Secondly, he has this role by God's authority. And when a man decides and makes the decision of Joshua that he will serve the Lord, he lives with God's authority. I have a book about missions. The title of it is Sent by the Sovereign. And the author compares the missionaries who went out sort of with a human perspective and the missionaries that went out and realized they were sent by the sovereign power of God. The people who go with the human perspective wash out. The people who live with a sense of sovereign purpose and authority stay with it through all the hardship because they have God's authority. Thirdly, a father counts on God's faithfulness. He's not in this alone. The Lord is behind him and with him and in him and through him, and he lives on the strength of God's commitment. God is committed to fathers, to lead families and nations, to serve the Lord. Well, may God bless this text and this testimony of Joshua to us today, so that we all learn about fatherhood. We won't all be fathers, but we need to understand God's plan for history. And as Kelly mentioned our Heavenly Father this morning, it would be wrong for us to be here in this church time and not mention or talk about our Heavenly Father. What a Father he is. His grace has saved us. His mercy has spared us. His love has pardoned us. And he just keeps coming with love and provision. I read the testimony of George Bush, our president, as he was speaking to a group of people about Father's Day. He was commending his father. He said, "My father was good. His greatest gift to me was unconditional love." Because he didn't have the greatest youth. I mean, he wasn't a goody-goody boy. He had some problems, but his father stuck and loved him with unconditional love. And I want to thank my Heavenly Father this morning for that same gift of loving me unconditionally. I need it. Maybe more than anyone on earth, I need that. And he comes through. He's our great example of fatherhood.